Amen. Are you ready to turn in your Bibles? Praise God. We'll remain standing just a little bit longer. And I really can't resist what I'm about to do. But first of all, turn to John chapter 14 and verse 1. Because it wouldn't be Father's Day without a few dad jokes, all right? And just the other day, I found some great dad jokes. And my father-in-law just happened to be over, and I was reading through all these dad jokes. And so I wrote them down. I thought I would share them with you. All right. So here's one here, right here. Why don't cows wear sandals? Because they lack toes. Anybody get that one? Anyone else think it's funny? What do you call a pig with laryngitis? Disgruntled. If at first you don't succeed, then skydiving is not for you. One person said to me, they said, guess who I bumped into on the way to the optometrist today? Everyone. This is one. I rang my dad today, and he was driving to church to preach and in Melbourne. I rang him. I said, Dad, I got to tell you a dad joke. He goes, what is it? I probably heard it. I said, what do you call a man with no shins? I said, his name's Tony. Tony. A man with no shins, his name is Tony. Somebody got the revelation, Brother Othan. I was shoplifting spaghetti the other day. Sorry, guys, I have repented. But I was shoplifting spaghetti when the checkout girl said to me, and she spotted me. When she saw me shoplifting the spaghetti, I couldn't get pasta. You know, the ancient Egyptians were great builders, Brother Jim, but only up to a point. I heard this one the other day on the radio. It was a genius, I think. Did you know, Brother Sion, that they print barcodes on the sides of the Norwegian Navy ships? So when they come into port, they can Scandinavian. Somebody said, I have a fear of speed bumps, but I'm getting over it. Somebody stole my limbo stick, Brother Francis. I can't believe how low people can go. Everybody say, praise the Lord, he's finished. Well, I could just be getting started, you know. John chapter 14. Please excuse me for that undignified moment that I couldn't resist. The Bible says a joyful heart is good medicine. And if you need some good medicine, it's good to have a laugh every now and then. Let not your heart be troubled. John 14 verse 1, you believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. Everybody say, my Father's house. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place. Everyone say, a place. A place for you. Jesus said this. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again. Everybody say, he's coming again. And receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. John the Revelator wrote in John, Revelation chapter 4, verse 1. After this, I looked, and behold, a door. Everybody say, a door. A door was opened in heaven, and the first voice which I heard was as it were of a trumpet talking with me. And the voice said, come up hither, and I will show you which things must be hereafter. Revelation 21, John went on to write this. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away. And there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for a husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. And God himself shall be with them and be their God. And Brother Arvin, he shall wipe all the tears from their eyes. And there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you. I want to minister on this title today, the Father's House. Everybody say, the Father's House. The Father's House. Lord, we love you. We thank you for your word today. We thank you for this beautiful day where we can honor our fathers. Lord, we honor those fathers that are with us today in person and those even joining us online. We pray for those who are grieving at this time as well. Be their comfort. We pray this in Jesus' name. And everybody say amen. Amen. The Father's House. You may be seated. Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you, my Father's House. I want to begin today by talking about a man named William Gladstone. Everyone say William Gladstone. He died in 1898, but he lived from 1809 and passing away in 1898. And William Gladstone served as the Prime Minister of England four times during the latter half of the 1800s. In his career, William Gladstone, over a period of 60 years, he served for 12 years as the Prime Minister of the United Kingdom, spread over four terms. And William Gladstone was a committed Christian who was always attending church. Wouldn't it be great to have a Prime Minister that is a committed Christian and always attends church? He also taught in Sunday school throughout his adult life. In fact, his aim early in life was to become a pastor. But after graduating from Oxford, when he was young, his strong-willed father insisted that he enter into politics. William Gladstone, shortly before he died, Gladstone gave a speech in which he talked about an occasion where he met with a young, ambitious man. A young man, he was very ambitious. And he came to William Gladstone, this young man, and he said, can you give me some advice about life? The young man told the elder statesman Gladstone, he said, I admire you, William Gladstone, more than anybody else who lives. And I want to know your advice regarding my future. I want to know your advice regarding my career. So Gladstone responded to him. He said, what do you hope to do when you graduate from college? Gladstone asked the young man, what do you want to do when you graduate from college? The young man replied and he said, I hope to attend law school, sir, just like you did. Gladstone said, that's a very noble goal. Then after that, then what? Well, he said, after graduating law school, I hope that I would be able to practice law and I'll make a good name for myself and I will defend the poor. I will defend those who are outcast of society. I want to be just like you, William Gladstone. He said, well, that's a noble purpose, young man. But then what? Well, sir, I hope one day to stand for Parliament and to become a servant of the people as a politician, just like you did, William Gladstone. He said, that too is a noble hope, young man. But then what? Then after that, what? Well, I would hope to be able to serve with distinction. I'll be able to evidence my integrity and my care and my concern for justice. William Gladstone, I want to be like you. William Gladstone said to the young man, he said, and then what? Well, after a successful career of being respected, I would hope that I would retire with honor and that people would remember me and I would write my memoirs, even as you are doing, William Gladstone, I would write my memoirs like you so that others can learn, yes, from my mistakes and others can learn from my triumph as well. Gladstone said, young man, that is very noble of you. But then what? The young man thought for a moment. He said, well, sir, I suppose then I will die. Gladstone said, that's correct. And then what? The young man looked puzzled. Well, sir, I have never actually given that any thought. Young man, Gladstone said, the only advice that I have for you is that you go home, read your Bible, and prepare for eternity. Go home, read your Bible, and prepare for eternity. Now, I acknowledge that we want to be successful in life, and I encourage every young person, every child, that you would study and you would do well at school, that you would grow up and that you would get a good job. All of those things are noble causes. I pray that you would be successful. I pray that you would buy your own house and have a car and to be able to provide for your family and have a comfortable life. That is a noble cause. I pray that you would live your life with integrity, that people will remember you after you have gone, and that you can share your wealth of wisdom with others as you grow older to pass it on to the next generation. That is a noble cause. But I must ask you today that the best advice I can give you is the same advice that William Gladstone gave to that young man. Go home, read your Bible, and prepare for eternity. For what does it profit a man if he gained the whole world and lose his own soul? Go home, young man, read your Bible, and prepare for eternity. And for those of us who have been around any time, know that life goes by so quickly. Life is like a vapor. It's there a moment and it evaporates the next. We are preparing now, as Sister Robin said to me a number of times, I am ready. I have been preparing for this time for my whole life. I am ready. Life goes on quickly. We have to be prepared for eternity. Go home, young man, read your Bible, and prepare for eternity. But the reality is, fathers, mothers, young people, is that many of us are like that young man who visited Gladstone. We haven't really given much thought to eternity. And I believe, as your pastor today, that God would have us live our life with heaven on our mind. My dad used to say, Jonathan, plan like Jesus is coming in the long term, but live like he's coming tomorrow. You see, it can be so easy in this day and age to get caught up with the temporal things, the material things. We get so caught up in the noble causes, and many of the things we get caught up and we do, they're not bad things. But I pray that we would live with eternity on our mind. Go home, read your Bible, and prepare for eternity. You see, it can be so easy for us to think that all we have is the here and now, and we forget about the sweet by and by. You see, the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 2 verse 9, but as it is written, what no eye has seen, no ear has heard, nor the heart of man has imagined what God has prepared for those who love him. Go home, read your Bible, and prepare for eternity. I'm mindful today that today is Father's Day. Many people live lives, I know, the strain of life, the busyness of life, the stress of life. Sometimes we feel strained and we feel stretched to our limit. I think of young parents today, and I am one. My children are getting older. Doesn't necessarily mean it gets easier. But the strain and the stretching, and we feel like as parents and especially dads today, sometimes we feel like that we've been stretched to our limit. Emotional pain, experiencing loss and physical pain and sickness and financial difficulties, and we've got so much pressure on our mind. But I want to tell you, the most important thing in this world is not the temporal things, but that we are ready to go to the Father's house. For in my Father's house there are many mansions. Jesus has gone to prepare a place for us. And he says that where I am, you may be also. And so I've come to turn your attention today on this Father's Day to the Father's house. Jesus said, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, you may be also." God has called us to prepare for heaven going. You see, I've come to remind you today that, as like I preached the title of a message a few months ago, that this life is nothing but a dress rehearsal for eternity. That we've got to be reminded continually, myself included, to lift our eyes off the temporal things and get our minds on the eternal things. I know we keep thinking about the next thing we're going to do on this earth, but then after that, then what? And after that, then what? No, we've got to go home, read our Bible, and prepare for eternity. One preacher once said, "Lord, stamp eternity on my eyeballs. Stamp eternity on my eyeballs." You see, we sang that song a few weeks ago. This world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up there, somewhere beyond the blue. The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Anybody know what I'm talking about when I talk about not feeling at home in this world anymore? Anybody know? Lift your hand if you know what I'm talking about today. I can't even keep up with how messy this world is getting. There's times I read the newspaper and think, I cannot believe that we are living in such a day. I read the other day in Melbourne at a school that they have a student there at that school that now identifies as a cat. And the school is proudly saying that they are supporting this child in their newfound identity as a cat. I've never heard such things. I mean, I used to think I was everything when I was a child, a dog, a cat, pretend I was all these things, you know. But then I grew up eventually and realized that I was a human being. But what is this world that we live in? And they said, the school, they proudly said that they are supporting this child in their newfound identity. I thought, really, that child needs help. We are living in a crazy world. This world doesn't feel like home anymore. Ephesians chapter 5 verses 15 and 16 says, be careful, pay careful attention then to how you walk. Don't walk as unwise people, but as wise, making the most of the time, because the days are evil. Make the most of the time that you have now. Young people, I'll say it again, study, do your best, get a good job, be a good steward of all the opportunities that you have. If you live in Australia, you are afforded with the opportunity to have a free education. Don't be lazy, take advantage of it. Do everything you possibly can. Do the best you possibly can. But don't get fixated on the here and now, because we're preparing to go to the Father's house. Jesus said, "I go to prepare a place for you, that where I am, you may be also." John the Revelator saw that door and he heard the words of Jesus saying, "Come on, come up hither, come up here. I want to show you this place. I want to be ready." Everybody say, ready. You have to make up your mind now. Do you want to be saved? That is a decision that you have to make now. You see, because in life, there are three appointments with God. Everybody say, three appointments. And listen to me very carefully, because God's going to speak to somebody. You have three appointments with God. The first appointment is your choice. When God speaks to you, when God moves on your heart, God is saying, I want to make an appointment with you. How will you respond when God speaks? And how you respond, it's your choice. Because God is speaking, God is calling you, God is working and moving on your heart, and you're hearing the preaching of the word, or maybe you spent time in prayer and God spoke to you. How will you respond? Let me tell you, when God makes an appointment with you, that first appointment, it's your choice. You can shut it down, or you can keep that appointment with God. And many of us here today can say, yes, Pastor, I remember. I remember when I first came to church and I walked into church and as the preaching was happening or as the worship was going on, I could feel God speaking to me. I could feel something that I never felt before. I could feel the Spirit of God moving on my heart. And yes, Pastor, I can identify with that God was speaking and wanting me to respond. Maybe some of you can say, yeah, Pastor, that happened to me a number of times and I rejected that appointment, but eventually I made the right choice. The first appointment is your choice, but the second and the third appointments, you don't get a choice in them. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27, and as it is appointed unto man once to die, but after that, the judgment. You see, the second appointment, we have no say. And the third appointment, we have no say. But the outcome of the second appointment, the outcome of death, and the outcome of the judgment time, they are all dependent on the choice that we make at the first appointment. The Father's house. So are you ready to go to the Father's house? You see, I don't believe that God has already predestined people who are going to be saved. I don't believe that God has already set those who are going to be saved and those who are going to be lost. But I do know that the church is predestined to be saved. And I want to be part of the church. I want to be part of the bride, which is predestined to be saved, which is that bride of Christ are the elect who will be saved. I want to be part of that. I want to be ready. And if you want to be part of that today, I want to tell you, just like Jesus said to Nicodemus, Nicodemus came to Jesus by night and he said, I know you are a teacher come from God, for no man can do what you do except God be with him. And Jesus said, no, sonny, you got to get ready for heaven going. Except the man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said, I never heard such a thing. He said, how can a man enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus said, verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born of water and of spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. If you're going to make your way to the Father's house, you've got to be born again. You've got to become a child of God. John chapter 1, verse 12 and 13, and I hasten to finish knowing that roast dinners are waiting for everybody. But as many as received him, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood. Everyone say, not of blood. You don't get into the kingdom of God because your mummy and daddy were good people. Not because of your bloodline, not of blood, nor the will of the flesh, not because you wanted to go there, nor the will of man, but of God. To be born again of God. You see, if you've never repented of your sin, you need to turn your life to Jesus today. You see, I want to be ready for the Father's house. I want to be ready. And dads, I want my children to be ready for the Father's house. Brother Arvin, the greatest thing that we can pass down, the greatest heritage is a godly heritage. You see, maybe there's things that your dad has and that, you know, or things that you have that you want to pass on, material things. And that's all well and good. But the greatest thing that you can pass down to your children is a godly heritage. And the one thing, you know, I may never be a champion for God, but I want to raise champions for God. And I want my boys to go to heaven with me. I want my sons to go and my wife to come to heaven with me, that we can go to the Father's house together. Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you. Come on, don't be anxious. Don't worry. The Bible says, Jesus said, don't worry about those things. things. He said, let not your heart be troubled. There's a hope that we have beyond this world. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Amen. You see, Revelation 4 verse 1, after this I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven. And the first voice which I heard was as it were a trumpet talking with me. And it said, come up hither. Everyone say, come up hither. You see, Revelation 21 tells us about heaven. There'll be no funeral homes in heaven. Sadly, on Thursday, I was at a funeral of Brother Michael Perry's mother in Townsville. Tuesday, I'll be at another funeral, but there will be no funeral homes in heaven. There'll be no hospitals in heaven, Sister Ruth. There'll be no bankruptcy courts in heaven. There'll be no addiction centers in heaven. There'll be no acts of terrorism in heaven. There'll be no racism in heaven. There'll be no injustice in heaven. There'll be no hurt feelings in heaven. There'll be no arguments in heaven. There'll be no gossip in heaven. There'll be no worry in heaven. There'll be no depression in heaven. There'll be no wars in heaven. There'll be no tears. I want to tell you, I want to make it to the Father's house, and I want this church to come along as well. Let's go to the Father's house. We've got a loving God, and I want to be ready. And so my words can be summed up in the words that Gladstone gave that young man. Go home, read your Bible, and prepare for eternity. Let's stand. Jesus said, I will make all things new. You see, when we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. Well, maybe today you're like that young man. He says, well, I haven't so much have given much thought about what will happen after that. Let me tell you, go home, read your Bible, and prepare for eternity. You see, I believe, just as I read in the scriptures, there's an open door today. Through the voice of your pastor today, there's an open door. And Jesus is saying, come up here. I want to come into your life. I want you to have peace. I want you to have that hope. Tell you, come up here. Hebrews chapter 9 verse 28 says this, so Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. There is an open door. Let's look towards that door. Are you ready today? Jesus says, come up hither. Let's lift our hands all across this place right now. I'm ministering today about the Father's house. Let me tell you, His love is so deep. His love is so wide. His love is never ending. A sacrificial love, an unconditional love. It's the Father's love today. Maybe there's somebody here today that never really experienced the true love of a father. Maybe you're here today and you say, you know what? I had a dad, but I never really knew what love was. Let me tell you, God's love is greater than any human love that you could ever experience. It's not conditional. It's not, He loves you one day and He doesn't love you the next. It's not dependent on what you do. God loves you because God is love. You see, love is not something that God does. Love is who He is. Are you thankful that we've got a loving Father today who has gone to prepare a place for us? I want to be ready for eternity. I want to be ready to walk through those golden gates. I want to be ready to go to the Father's house. I want to be ready to go to that place that He has prepared for us. I want to be ready for heaven going. And the testimony about dear Sister Robin, whose life we will celebrate on Tuesday, is that she was ready. And when you know somebody's ready, it's one of the most beautiful times when they pass from the world, because they know they're on their way to the Father's house. Let's sing this song as we lift our hands all across this place. Christ is enough for me. You're enough for me, Jesus. Everything I need is in you, Lord. Help me not to be sidetracked by the temporal things in this world. But Lord, stamp eternity on my eyelids. Lord, that whenever I close my eyes, all I can think of is eternity. I want to be ready for the Father's house. Oh.